Now, we're speaking to Eric Hufschmid. It's highly important what we're speaking about. And, Eric, you have a few websites. Let's tell our listeners how they can clue into your website. Spell your name and the different websites you have going. All three of them, I noticed, that were on the Internet when you Google search.
Well, my name is Eric Hufschmid, H-U-F like Frank, S like Sam, C-H-M-I-D. And the easiest website to remember is hugequestions.com, H-U-G-E, questions.com. And from there, it'll take you to two other sites if you want, erichufschmid.net and iamthewitness.com. Iamthewitness.com is just like the word spell, iamthewitness.com. There, that has a lot of audio files and other articles.
And it's also erichufschmid.net, but it's all interlinked with what erichufschmid.net starts with, right? Because I've noticed
right, they all connect together.
They're all interconnected, right?
Right, right.
Okay. And it's highly important. What else websites do you offer our listeners to get into that are highly informative of the lies, the deception that we've been living under for decades now here in America,
well,
Canada?
It's difficult to recommend a site that I don't actually personally work with, because it's what has been turning out is almost everybody involved in this, these so-called truth movements or anti-war movements, almost all of them turn out to be Zionist fronts. And so it's hard to recommend one. I kind of hesitate now. If I'm not working on it, I don't want to trust it.
Okay, forget anyone else's. Just listen
well,
to Eric's. Very good. At
well,
first.
I just
is not bad because we've gotten quite a few different speakers on, but we're discerning who speaks the truth and who speaks with a forked tongue. Bottom line.
Yeah, I don't want to say that everybody is deceptive, but it's just so many, time after time. And see, one thing that gives a lot of these people away is that they've been out there for decades doing all these investigations. I only came along after September 1st. And, you know, in the space of September 1st, I've uncovered more than all of these people in decades of work. You know, it doesn't make sense that somebody could be in this field for decades. And meanwhile, you know, I'm learning things in just a few years, and they just keep repeating the same stuff over and over and over.
This now, tell our listeners, too, how did you get involved in this 9/11? You saw something on the Internet, and something piqued your interest.
Did you
start questioning what happened during the 9/11? How did you personally get involved, Eric?
Well, I didn't have a TV or newspapers or magazines. I got disgusted with the media as a kid. I didn't think of it as being corrupt. I just thought of it as being stupid and a waste of time. So when I left home, I decided I'm never going to get a TV or magazines or newspapers. I didn't want to support such what I thought were idiotic, you know, just stupid stuff. So when the attack occurred, I didn't know. I didn't have any media contact. I only heard about it from my mother, and then I looked on the Internet, and I just thought, well, the Arabs are attacking from all the meddling in our affairs. And I didn't think too much of it at the time. I just, after a couple of days, put a document on the Internet saying that the Arabs were like Lorena Bobbitt. You know, she was just getting tired of being abused and was fighting back. That's how I saw it. And I saw on the Internet people weren't really responding to what I was saying. There were complaints that something was funny about the attack and that the government can't be trusted. And I was thinking, what are these conspiracy nuts complaining about? It seemed to make sense to me. You meddle with the Arabs, you know, meddle in their nations, and they attack you. What's so strange? But after a couple months of their seeing this over and over, I started wondering, what are they talking about? How can they see something funny here? So I decided to look through the photos and the news reports, and that's when, you know, when you look closely at the collapse of the towers, that's when it hits you. These towers didn't just fall down. They were blown up. And so my first reaction was I put a document on the Internet with this kind of evidence in January of 2002, and I started emailing professors and engineers. I just started looking through lists of people trying to figure out who would have experience with explosives and steel structures. I said, why don't you look into this? It looks like they were blown up. And nobody seemed to care. I spent a lot of time sending emails out to people. And nobody seemed to care. And after a while, I decided if nobody else is going to say something, then I will. So I put a book together, that Painful Questions and Analysis of the September 11th Attack. And that's how that book came about. It's because nobody else seemed to be doing anything.
Now, this is rather interesting that the American populace didn't put two to two together. I happened to go from Toronto to New York one time, and I took a hotel room right in the Hilton Hotel, shall I say. Spent $250 for one night. This is back in the 80s here. And all of a sudden, at 6 o'clock in the morning, kaboom, I thought America or Manhattan was under attack. They had to peel me off the ceiling. I thought, what the heck happened here now? The great ruckus. And then I look out the window, and the building adjoining was just demolished. So I went down in the lobby, told the people at the front lobby, the manager in question, why am I paying $250? Why don't you notify your clientele who are taking a room that there's going to be a building that's going to be demolished? Well, he said, wouldn't we lose money, bottom line money. So this is rather strange that people didn't even start questioning. The manager said this is commonplace. Buildings are being imploded all throughout Manhattan, making way for new skyscrapers. So interesting that the Manhattan populace didn't speak out about it and smell a rat from day one.
Well, that is very interesting. And, you know, one of the things that I was wondering is, why are the firemen not talking? Why are the policemen not talking? Because the firemen claim that it was their friends that were killed. And you'd think, well, if it's their friends, how come they don't care? And one of the clues to what's going on here is there's a video somewhere on the internet, I forget where, where someone says that it was one of the either a policeman or a fireman or a rescue worker who was saying, on that day, on that morning, while these people are trying to rescue people, somebody was pointing out that the ATM machines were not working and they could go and get some cash. And they were getting filmed as they were stealing cash, and they were being encouraged to steal other things and getting filmed by it. And this could explain it. They were being set up again by saying, oh, look, the ATM machines don't work. Let's get some money. Come on, guys, come on. And they're getting fooled into thinking, yeah, let's just take a couple handfuls. And they're being filmed meanwhile. And so then later, someone can come back to them and say, you want to talk about 9/11? How would you like this video of you stealing cash from the ATM machines to go out? So this may have been what happened. The policemen, the firemen, the rescue workers that were over there were being encouraged to do something. And this guy was saying, if you seemed to be showing signs of asking questions or any morality, you weren't let on the site. They were kind of keeping those people away. And what they were doing is, like I just said before, they're looking for people to take advantage of. They're looking for people who just aren't that smart, or they've got a problem, and they're willing to join in and then be blackmailed. And the ones that can see through what's going on are the ones that are just a little too moral. They were being pushed aside, saying, get out of here. You go over there and... We don't need your help.
The key witnesses here pretty well are the firefighters, and they made a lot of grievances in the earlier reports. They were very angry that they were told to get off the site, especially when they were trying to look for their comrades. And then all of a sudden you see all these Brinks trucks show up hauling out the gold. I thought it was the biggest gold heist that there ever was, alongside an insurance scam is a gold heist at the time. And anyone that was going to be privy to looking at this information was told to leave now. So I heard the first report saying that the firefighters were very grievous about the banking cartel, whatever, was the masterminds of the Mossad, the whole shebang of Zionist agenda makers here now, propagandists that set this in motion. And it's highly important that people that wanted to make a difference started saying it's all about the money, bottom line. Do you make this story as one of the problems that besets the firefighters and the police as well as coming forth?
Aspect,
like you said, blackmail.
Well, yes, and you see, you mentioned also they were trying to keep people away, but they weren't trying to keep everybody away. What they seemed to be doing is keeping away the people who seemed either not under their control or too honest, or, you know, people they didn't know. You see, they weren't keeping everybody away from that site. They had a lot of people there cleaning it up, throwing stuff in the trash, confiscating evidence.
Mafia was the only one that was allowed. Wouldn't you think that was them?
Yeah, them.
The people that hauled the debris away. Who were they? Who did they allow on the site? Key question. And your book started this major role. I was flabbergasted. I also saw a major article. Well, it was an advertisement that showed up in the New York Times, and it had your book to be one of the very main books that people should get to understand what 9/11 was all about. How do they get your book, Eric?
Oh, now that's a very interesting story. That advertisement, that was one ad that, in 2004, there was a person who inherited a money, or years earlier when his dad died, he inherited several $1 million. And, you know, unlike most people that inherit millions, he didn't want to spend his money just buying jewelry and stuff like that. So, you know, he was always looking for something useful to do with it. So he went to one of the 9/11 rallies, meetings that we had that was being held in San Francisco, heard about my book, kind of dismissed it, thought I was a nut. But he got the book anyway because he said, you know, he bought the book in my video on the grounds that, well, I think this guy's a nut, but I want to support these people. They're trying. So he bought it, took it home, stuck it on the shelf, and let it sit there until somebody finally convinced him, would you just look at it? And he finally, when he looks at my video and book, he realizes, my God, this stuff, it's true. They really blew the buildings up. And so he went on a campaign to start advertising my book. And he advertised it in newspapers and a couple magazines. Then he started putting cable television advertisements out. And, of course, you can imagine the reaction to this. This just created a real problem among the Zionists. Here's a guy with money advertising my book and video. And so this is when the Popular Mechanics and Benjamin Chertoff came out. And when Art Bell asked Benjamin Chertoff, you know, why'd you write this article criticizing 9/11 conspiracy theories, he made the remark that it was in response to these ads that were being placed by Jimmy Walter.
Whoa.
And so
it's right into your turf here.
Yeah, because see, Jimmy Walter was advertising my book and spreading this information at a rate that none of us could afford to do. And so they were panicking. That's when they brought out Benjamin Chertoff, put him into, you know, to get Popular Mechanics to help stop this. And what they did is that they ended up surrounding Jimmy. Jimmy at the time was fully convinced that, you know, Israel is our friend. It's our greatest ally. And, you know, they have a right to exist and we should defend them. He was a firm believer in this. And so he didn't think anything strange that, you know, all these Jews were coming forward. I'll help you, Jimmy. I'll help you with your website. I'll help you get this information out. He didn't think anything strange. And, you know, I would try to tell him, you know, there's deception everywhere. You got to watch it. These people are not honest. He, like most people, would dismiss it. And so they ended up wasting a lot of his money, sabotaging some of his meetings when he held meetings. And somehow in 2005, or wait, the 2006, I guess it was, they somehow got him to start promoting the theory that the airplanes that crashed into the World Trade Center towers were illusions created by the news crews through this blue screen technology. And then a few months later, he just quit completely from the 9/11 movement. He's gone. So somehow they just totally ruined him. I don't know exactly what they did, but this is what happens. It's like when bacteria get into your body, the white cells come over to it, surround it, and try to incapacitate it. The Zionists do the same thing. When someone comes forward to expose their crimes, they start surrounding you. They say, oh, we're your friend. I'll help you. Here's some useful advice. Check out this website, or here, check this person out. They try to fool you into thinking they're your friends, and meanwhile, what they're doing is looking for your weaknesses, trying to set you up, trying to sabotage you, trying to blackmail you, trying to ruin you somehow. And they did it with him. They got him. He's gone now.
This is their agenda of world control.
Yeah, and it works. It works because people don't believe it when I tell them that this is, you can't trust these people. And they've got a monstrous force. Israel is a training center for these people. It's a base of operations.
People don't even understand that in Canada. We had the Ontario OPP from various divisions, various cities all across Ontario go to Israel to be informed and instructed and trained. Trained is the key word right there.
Right, they're what training.
That's right. Why are they going there to be trained? What is this? A massive Zionist now police state that is being set up right before our eyes and we're asleep? What do you make of this training center?
Right, they now do that with American police also. You see, people don't see, no one's right now suspecting this. They don't, they all assume that Israel is our best friend, and the media tells them this over and over, and they fall for the trick. And even when they get caught doing things, they get away with it. Even when they get caught, they make an excuse about how, oh, there was just that one time, or maybe there's a couple criminals in Israel. Don't worry about that. They're still our best friends. People don't realize they're training our policemen, our politicians. They're not our friends.
It's Stephen Harper, our prime minister, is flag waving Israel's flag. It's already here. Forget the Canadian flag. So you know who the puppet masters are. And the Americans likewise. When you see, like I said, Shimon Peres, Ehud Olmert coming in and taking over the Congress, you know who are really the bottom line pulling the strings, because they control the money.
Well, the money, the media, and the government, and see, they're in the court system too. So this is why you can't get anywhere with legal fights. Yeah, they're in the courts, and 9/11 is a good example. All what Bolin has noticed, Christopher Bolin wrote. You'll find this article also at IamTheWitness.com. He noticed all of the 9/11 victims that try to do anything legally all go through this one judge, Alvin Hellerstein. No, think about this. If you send all your cases to one Zionist judge, all he has to do is block everything or delay it and somehow ruin it. One judge. If you can just get it so that all of the cases come to him. And that's what's happening. He's getting control and then blocking them. And then plus, a lot of the lawyers that are offering to take 9/11 cases like Phil Berg, they're there to ruin things. They never accomplish anything. Nobody can even figure out how they make a living. He took the case for Ellen Mariani, then he went to William Rodriguez after she dumped him. No one realizes these people are part of this Zionist network. They're not here to help you.
The same thing as the lawyer Mark Lane regarding the Warren Commission. Big hype, no delivery. So it's an ongoing problem.
Mark Lane, you mean of the American Free Press?
Exactly.
So, yeah, see, that's another one. And the American Free Press has turned out to be one of their groups. And Mark Lane, you already knew about this then?
Yes, I did, because I started doing research myself. I saw the whole shebang. That's why I've been reading all their books and all their lies and deceit.
Well, you see,
it's
Mark...
all money-making for them.
It's money-making, but see, at the same time, Mark Lane and the others, what they are also trying to do is get control of the Kennedy assassination and everything else. He's there. They're always there in the role of a truth seeker or in the role of a lawyer who's trying to help. But what they're really doing is trying to get control, identify the witnesses, make sure nothing's ever said that they don't want said. They're there to control it.
That's right, because the question should be asked is, who ordered the hit of JFK? Bottom line, it still comes down to the 13 banking families. People don't understand the fact that he was making the money, the American currency, for the people, printed by the government, not the private Federal Reserve, which is run by them. So that's where it's all at.
Well, you know, that one other thing. Remember when I said those dancing Israelis said they were there to document the event of 9/11?
That's right.
Now, think about this.
The French coincidence. Also, get into the French coincidence and these dancing Arabs, so-called.
Oh, the French.
Or Israelis, really. But,
you mean that French coincidence?
Yeah, that's right.
You mean the one, that little video I put together?
Yes, talk about that. That's quite interesting.
Well, okay, what I was going to mention first before I forget, remember I said they were going to document the event. What people don't realize is the World Wars, the Holocaust, the attack on the USS Liberty, 9/11, all of these things are events to them. They are part of Israel's development. They are, if Israel actually gets established and if they get total control of the world, this will go into their history books as how we developed Israel. And it will go right into the history books because they won't have to hide it any longer. It will say right in their history books, we did this attack in 1946. We did 9/11 in 2001. This is how we helped create the war in Afghanistan and Iraq and destroy the Arabs. It will be part of their history. You see, they want to document this. And the Kennedy assassination is the same thing. Who was there filming it? In the right position.
That's right.
And who was he friends with? People in New York. He was there to document the event. People don't get this. These are events to them. To us, they're attacks. To us, it's murder. To them, it's an event in their development. Just like the development of America, you know, there was a killing of an Indian. To an American, it was an event. To the Indians, it was a murder. It's the same thing, the same concept, you see?
This is mind-blowing information that nobody even knows about, so I'm glad that you wrote this 9/11 painful questions. How can the listener get it?
Oh, if they go to Huge Questions, it'll show them where they can go for that. And I put that in the Kennedy assassination. See, people don't get this, the Pruder thing. They don't get they don't understand why is there always somebody there filming all this stuff. They want to film it.
They want to document it for history.
It's their history.
That's right.
Right.
And it's blatantly now recorded. They perpetrate the lie to the masses, but then they've got the real shebang in their own coffers and under their own control. Interesting. So this is highly important. I also wanted to ask, do you think at the same time that they were developing their nuclear facility in Israel, that the information was being funneled from Canada of how to set up this nuclear plant there? What do you make of that? Because they had the ongoing spy situation with the Rosenbergs and on coming forth. What do you make of this, Eric?
Well, yeah, I'm not too sure where all the nuclear technology comes from. See, Kennedy was supposedly one of the people trying to stop Israel from getting nuclear bombs, but they supposedly got some of it from France. And I don't know all the details on that one. That was something I never checked into, but somehow there is definitely a French connection to all of this stuff, somehow. And if you look at the current French candidates for president, Sarkozy is one of them. He's a Zionist. He's there right now, possibly going to win the election. And if he wins, that means France is now under the control of a Zionist. You see,
and looking for people easily to manipulate, or they'll put in one of their own right in there.
That's right, and he is one of theirs. He's not even one of their. They don't even have to manipulate him. He is one of theirs. Whereas some of the others, like Nancy Pelosi or Clinton, are more like just following orders. They're not really high-level players making decisions. So, but there is the other thing that you mentioned, that French Connection video I put together. It's a little short thing on so not too easy to find, but you can find it at Huge Questions. What I was pointing out, the strange thing, is those French filmmakers that were in New York City that filmed the very first attack on the World Trade Center. I mean, not the first attack, the first plane that hit the North Tower. Everybody thinks, oh, what a coincidence that these French filmmakers just happened to be there and film that. Well, you look closely at how long they were there, what they were doing there. It looks like somebody told them to go there, but they didn't tell them the whole story. This is the other thing the Israelis will do. They'll let you in on a little bit, but they never tell you exactly what you're doing. It's common with not just Israel, militaries in general, businesses do it. You know, sometimes you do it just because you don't want to waste your time explaining everything. You know, it's a need-to-know basis. You tell somebody only what he needs to know to get his job done. They were told, apparently, go there and document these firemen. And then on September 10th, the day before the attack, they must have gotten the word, the attack is coming tomorrow. Get ready to film the World Trade Center. Be at this particular position. A plane is going to hit. But they didn't know anything else. And see, that was the day, that night is when they celebrated. And everybody thinks, oh, another coincidence. They happened to pick that day to celebrate, and they just happened to be completely oblivious to the fact that they didn't cook enough food. And I mean, you have to watch the video to think about this. It looks like this is how they got France to keep quiet about the attack. They somehow told some of the French people that this attack was going to come. It was probably people in the French government. They were probably told there was going to be an attack by some Arabs, and let's just take advantage of it. So they were tricked into going along with it, not realizing what was really happening, you see. And so these French people filmed it, and then they didn't know the towers had explosives in it. So they went down there, and both of them almost died. And I think, but you see, now France cannot really complain. The French government can't complain, hey, this attack was by Israel, because then Israel can say, yeah, well, we told you the attack was coming, and you sent people to film it. So,
wow, blackmail.
Well, right, and that's just some of the blackmail. Who knows what else they've got? This is just some of it. You see, they've got to keep everybody quiet. You can't conduct an attack like this and start a war unless you can make sure that other nations are going to keep their mouth shut. And how do you do that? And you look at, where did the plane hit? It hit the Fuji Bank in the South Tower, and the Fuji officials didn't show up for work. Somehow Japan and the Fuji Bank, some Japanese officials are involved. They may not have known the whole extent of what was happening, but they were somehow involved. The French seemed to be somehow involved. The British, it's obvious they're involved. I mean, they were helping to cover it up just like George Bush. You see, everybody, before this attack occurred, they were setting people up to be blackmailed. And then you have the stock trades. Who was doing those put options? See, what they may have done is gone to some of the other people and said to them, you know, the Arabs are going to attack and it'll raise the price of, or lower the price, whatever, of stock. So if you buy right now and do this specific thing, you're going to make some money. Again, they didn't necessarily tell people the whole story. They just told them a little bit, fooled them into buying doing the put options. And then when the attack occurs, then the Israelis can say to them, are you going to tell on us? Then we're going to tell that you knew ahead of time it was coming, and you bet on it, and you made millions of dollars.
That's right. So they, again, got them in the corner. They don't want to disclose who they were.
Yeah, because there's
a lot of people probably in political positions were then cornered in this checkmate game. They don't want to come forth, and this is a form of bribery.
Yeah, and another thing you'll see strange events happening. You'll see news report. Remember when the news report came out that about the suspicious stock trades in the first place? How did that get out? Remember, the Zionists control the media. How did that get out in the first place? They may have put it out on purpose because there was a fight going on with people saying, you didn't tell us those buildings were being blown up. You didn't tell, you lied to us. And they said, oh yeah, what are you going to do about it? And they said, they put this out as a way to twist their arm and say, if you don't stop it, we're going to turn you in. And you see the same thing with Princess Diana information. Every once in a while, for no apparent reason, the Zionists that control the media will put out some information that hints that Princess Diana was murdered. And then it just disappears all of a sudden. You see, the same thing with the stock markets. It'll just appear and then disappear. And what I think they're doing is they put this out when they have to put somebody in their place.
That's right. Like Prince Charles said, he's really a fag. That comes out now and again.
Oh, does it? I haven't been paying too much attention to that.
I'm a jokester here, but that's the type of information to keep him in line.
Yeah, but you'll see that when these reports come out, they come out and then they vanish. There's no follow-up. And how did they get out there in the first place? They control the media. They let it out is the only way you can explain it. And they release just a little bit to put people in their place. It's like when Larry Silverstein went on television and said, I got a call from the fire department commander telling me that they cannot, you know, they couldn't put the fires out in Building 7. Remember that quote?
That's right.
See, I think what he was doing there is he was getting trouble from the firemen, from the policemen. They were grumbling about how these buildings were blown up and they're getting mad. And he went out there on television to put them in their place by saying this stupid remark. And then all of them have to then watch him say this on television, and they're probably thinking, I can't believe this. I can't believe he can do this. It's putting them in their place. It's intimidation when a criminal does this sort of a thing.
He's like laughing right in their face, saying, I'm going to have the building pulled, and what are you going to do about it? I'm still going to collect because the insurance companies are part of the fraud.
Well, yeah, and he actually...
Even all of these conspiracy complicitous insurance companies other than Chubb. Who was in on this big take, and who gave the big coin to Larry Silverstein?
Well, right. Plus, he also put the blame on the fire department commander, you see. He said the fire department commander made the decision to pull it.
Oh, rather than
remember?
Him, right?
He said, yeah, he just said, oh, I suggested it, but he made the decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse. So he's making it, he's saying something that is so absurd. The only way you can explain it is that he is trying to intimidate the fire department. And then look at what also happened. After the World Trade Center towers were blown up and the whole thing, Queen Elizabeth invited Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, and the fire department commander and the police chief, and gave them all awards. Rudy Giuliani became a knight commander of the British Empire, and the other two got some sort of awards also. Now, you have to ask yourself...
Tommy Banks from the Queen, for that matter. So they're all in on it, even the generals of now the invasion of Iraq. Get a load of that, Eric.
Yeah, and you see, so you have the royal families going along with this, and it's unbelievable the number of people involved in this stuff. But what confuses people is that they think of this criminal network as one happy, united family, and I don't think that's true at all. I think if you look at any group, it doesn't matter whether they're criminal or not, look at a business, you will find there are arguments between the people on how to run the business, who should be in control, how it should be structured. And you have to ask yourself, a criminal network, don't you think they also have disputes as to who's in control and how it will be structured and what they will do? And you've got to think about this. Of course they're going to have fights. And if anything, history shows criminal groups have worse fights. They're more violent. They're more diabolical. They're more double-crossing going on among criminal groups than there are among businesses. And that is what I think makes this criminal network behind 9/11 so confusing. When you look at it, it looks like there's tremendous fights going on between them. George Soros fighting with George Bush, and you know what I mean? You see,
I understand.
You can see a lot of fights going on, and it gets so confusing. People think of this network as one happy family. They're not one happy family. You've got serious criminals in this group. You've got pedophiles. You've got lunatics. Some of them may be more or less normal, but there are some seriously mentally ill people in this group. And you've got to expect there's going to be fights, double crossing, triple crossings, and just plain lunacy. And that's why when you look at it, you can't always make sense of what they're doing and why they're fighting with each other.
That's right. So that's why they've mixed up everything, even on the internet. So when you got involved, I think you discerned the truth between the lies.
Well, it took a while.
That took a while, right.
Because
I'm very glad that you put this together, because I heard your name first time during the 9/11 public inquiry here in Toronto. But I was surprised that you didn't show up.
No, they don't want me. You see, here's the other thing that's been happening. The other thing that I noticed is the way they avoid me. In the beginning, they sort of avoided me just a little bit. Now it's total. It's just absolutely total. Me, Christopher Boland, Daryl Smith, we're
what
on the blacklist.
What about the French fellow?
Yeah, actually, he's American. He's just living in France at the moment. He married a French woman, and he just happens to be there now for the past 10 years or so. But he's actually American. But you will notice it has gotten to the point where they have separated so much. It is so clear now. It's so obvious. Their separation is helping to identify who they are. You see? If they really wanted to expose 9/11, why wouldn't they tell you about my book?
Exactly. So I saw it being sold at the beginning there with the public inquiry, but I was really aghast that you weren't one of the keynote speakers.
No, they don't want me. And then you have to look at all the people involved in these groups. You know, Carol Brulé and her deception dollar, the global research, and, you know, all of those people. You know, even when Sherman Skolnick was around, they always avoided us. Always. And it's even worse today. And you have to ask yourself, why? They'll promote other people's books. Is mine really that bad that they won't even mention it by name. And so it's a sign. This is the criminal network. And they're now worried so much that if they're worried that people will listen to me, and they're worried so much that they're trying to avoid even mentioning my name so no one even knows who I am. They're so afraid that somebody might listen to what I'm saying and look at my website.
Well, that's what they did with Eustace Mullins. They tried to make you into an anti-Semite. That's their first thing that they do, and they did that with David Icke. Once they start labeling you as a nut bar, and they did that quick with the fact of the reptilians, but guess what? He superseded by being able to print his own book and somehow still be able to sell it worldwide via the internet. So there's ways and means. You can jumpstart somehow, kickstart somebody understanding that this is the truth, must get out.
What they're doing with Eustace Mullins could be even worse, though. He just had he was just invited to come out to San Francisco to speak at a few little tiny meetings. And this IHR, Institute for Historical Review, was there, Mark Weber. And the strange thing is that they invited a woman that's part of this voting fraud investigation.
About the black box.
Yeah, they invited one of, you know, she was invited. Her name is, here, let me just quick, something like Sharona. Oh, wait a minute. What is her name? She was invited from New Hampshire to come out, and they put her in the same hotel room as Eustace Mullins. She's Jewish. Now, think about this. How often would any woman be willing to be put into the same hotel room as a man she doesn't even know? You tell me, how often does that happen?
That's right. Well, they tried to make a big fiasco here in Toronto by not letting him come across the border. I finally had an interview with him, and the man is talking straight goods. I couldn't believe he was the one who looked into the Library of Congress, did a lot of research for years on the secrets behind the Federal Reserve, and bottom line is they don't want this information out there. But guess what? Someone put it on the internet, and Eustace says he's probably never made any type of money at all because they've sabotaged him regarding this. So here are the people that are spinning out the truth, and they sabotage you so that you never have any coin, just enough to live on, but that's their agenda. Probably the same with your book. This is highly important that people clue into what's going on, what's the truth and what's lies.
Well, but not only that, but see, in his case, they may have set him up for something else. There's a report at I Am the Witness that shows that in 1950s, he was driving, he was in a car, I don't think he was a driver, he was a passenger. There was a Jewish guy in there with him and somebody else, and the Jewish guy, they picked up a hitchhiker. This is the 1950s, you know, when people hitchhiked. They picked it up, and the Jewish guy raped the kid. It was a boy. Raped him and then left him off the side of the road. And, of course, later they got arrested. The kid got the license plate number, and they got arrested. Now, this is in the report. I can't tell you if this is all true. This is the report. It says this on the Internet, that then they got arrested. Now, think about this. This could have been now the setup to blackmail Eustace Mullins, that you'd ever talk, if you don't do what we say, you're going to go to jail because you were there when it happened. You remember I said they're always looking for ways to set people up. They may have saw Eustace Mullins was a possible problem, and they may have set him up way back then. And see, this, the woman's name is Sharona Morel, M-E-R-E-L. She's the one they just brought out from the East Coast to be in his hotel room and follow him around in his hotel room and be with him as he goes from one of the meetings to the next. And think about that. What a coincidence that they do these things to him. Why are they doing this to him? See, it's possible they think there are, it's possible that he is homosexual, that the accusations are true, and they're blackmailing him, setting him up in order to stop him from saying too much, you see. They may have said to him, look, you already got some stuff out. You're not going any farther. That's it. And they follow him around, trying to set him up, trying to ruin him, trying to take his money and blackmail him. People have to take this seriously. These people are not fooling around. All you have to do is look at the World Wars. Take a look at the photos of those Germans, the million Germans sitting in there slowly dying in their little camp that Eisenhower set up to kill them all. They're not fooling around. They're not going to let Eustace Mullins talk. They're not going to let any of us talk. They're trying their best to stop it. And their primary method is to fool people. That's the easiest way for a small group of people to do
this.
That's
right, have them bickering amongst each other.
Yeah, get them to fight, but the blackmail, the easiest way to get somebody to shut up is to blackmail them, to lure them into something and then threaten them. Scott Ritter got caught trying to arrange sex with a kid, and it turns out they were police, and he got arrested. His case was sealed. He didn't get in trouble. His case was sealed. This is a sign that someone said to him, here's your options. You do what we tell you or you go to jail. And now he's running around the country giving speeches, but he never exposes 9/11. He says the towers came down because of fire. He is their puppet now. He got caught in a trap trying to have sex with a kid, and now he's their puppet. Do you see what I mean? They are, the FBI runs these sting operations all the time, and look who's running a lot of the pornography and the sex slaves. It's coming from Israelis. Who runs a lot of the strip clubs? People like Larry Silverstein. And if you go into their clubs and they lure you into doing something illegal and they're filming it, then they got you too.
Exactly. Don't forget about Jack Ruby with his carousel club. So they started way back when with burlesque and on and on. They're the masters of the pornography in Hollywood. People should really look into it, and that's what they do. They have cameras all over the place. So once you join their club, or they lure you into the club, your history if you play ball their way.
That's right. And you see, they are the ones that sell a lot of the stuff, the pornography. So if you buy their pornography, then they've got your name and address and credit card number and everything else. And so they can look through their list of customers when it comes time to do something. And they think, oh, well, we need a mayor for the town of such and such. Let's see who we have as a customer in the area. And they might say to him, hey, you want to be mayor? We'll fund you. And then after he's in mayor, he says, now, by the way, if you don't do what we're going to say, if you don't do what we say.
Don't give all the contracts to the Bronfman family.
Right.
Take a look at all the contracts they got under the company Ramparts. I didn't understand that until I looked in the Toronto library right at the City Hall, and it was quite interesting. It was all the agendas in their private meetings. There wasn't even a tender system. These guys get it awarded all for them. And this is the way they started out, with just collecting firewood into the biggest conglomerate worldwide. Mass manipulation and deceit and lies and insurance scam and on,
right?
People have never questioned it.
And then when they get caught, what they do is they set somebody up to take the blame. One person, two people, maybe. You'll see this with the gangs of Chicago. You know, people think, well, Al Capone's gone, it's all cleaned up. It's not cleaned up, it's the same people. Al Capone might be gone, but the rest, it's still under the control of organized crime. And the same will be true if they blame Bush and Cheney for 9/11, or even if they throw in some other people like Rumsfeld and some others. Even if they throw a dozen people in and arrest a dozen people, they still have control of the media, the banking, the military, and so many other things. So it doesn't matter if they have to sacrifice a dozen or two people. You see? This is why the people keep getting fooled. They'll sacrifice a couple. People think, oh, it's problem solved. It's like with this latest guy who just admitted to 21 or 29, 31 terrorist attacks, that Sheikh Mohammed Khalil, whatever.
Oh, this last fellow. You mean,
yeah, the last guy.
That's right. I was looking
at his name. So what it's
Sheikh Mohammed or whatever.
Yeah, whatever his name is. But see, what they're all they have to
Khalid,
do is
Khalid. That's now I got Khalid.
Yeah, it's easier to say KSM.
Sheikh
his
Mohammed.
Initials.
That's
yeah, use his initials KSM. But people get fooled in thinking, well, problem solved. They just arrested whoever did it, and that's what they're doing with Bush. Impeach Bush. Impeach Bush. What good's it do to impeach Bush? Bush is not the mastermind of the world's problems. And see, this is, they're fooling people again. People are just such suckers. They'll get them all to go on demonstrations and demonstrate against Bush, and they'll put in someone else. What, Pelosi? Like, now that's a solution?
That's right. Would you ever see Ehud Olmert or Shimon Peres or Benjamin Netanyahu or whatever?
Netanyahu?
That's right, brought before a tribunal worldwide of the masters of genocide, not in a long shot. So this is where we're at. That's the masterminds behind the whole deception and the Rothschild family, the 13 banking cartel. So this is really important. Now, what I'm going to say is we're going to divide this whole thing into three parts, and we're very honored to have Eric Hufschmid on as our very important guest that no one would ever get the information like Eric has out there. So I'm glad to have you on spyman.ca. And we're going to post it up on our network, but we're going to get people to understand this is highly important that they get involved in looking at your book, buying your book and your DVD, and spreading the word.
And the video is available for free anyway. They don't even have to buy it. So they have no excuse. You know, people are always saying, well, what can I do? I'm just a little person. The information is there. It's free. Just spread it. Just talk about it. Quit talking about Tom Cruise and quit talking about the latest Hollywood movie and just bring up these issues once in a while because it affects all of us. We can make the world better. People don't realize this. You know, you think about the technology we have. We could have nice cities with nice architecture. We could have nice trains. We could have a nice economy. We could have governments that we respect. We don't have to have these lunatics running everything, selling children as sex slaves, running all these gambling operations. We don't need this.
That's right. When people wake up to that fact, it's about time that we clean out Las Vegas and the whole shebang.
Yeah, people think it's entertainment, but, you know, we could be doing something where people, if people's lives were happier in the first place, they wouldn't have these cravings for this idiotic entertainment in the first place. They're so lonely. People don't even realize it. Look how lonely and miserable they are. That's why the television is their best friend. Their life is a disaster right now.
Or the big screen. That's why they get lost in all this.
Yeah, they're withdrawing is what they're doing.
Right. They're not getting involved in truth. They live a lie. They live a deception every single day of their life.
Well, yeah, they are, and the economy is a mess. Businesses are, there's crime everywhere. There's low morale everywhere. It's a crazy situation where you're working. There are husbands and wives working just to survive with house payments. I mean, it wasn't like that when we were kids. We have more technology. It should be easier today. People don't even notice that.
Two jobs, that's right.
I mean, it's out of control. The money is just pouring into things like these wars and into these Rothschilds, into the deception, into all these little terrorist attacks. And we could stop this, but people have to spread the information because they have control over the media. We have to go behind their backs and do it by passing out DVDs or emailing people websites. We have to get this information to people, force it on them, and even if you don't know people, just email it to strangers. Who cares? That's what I was doing in the beginning, just email it to professors, engineers, whoever you feel like.
Well, that's a wonderful thought, Eric. So I'm very, very happy, very proud to have had you on spyman.ca. This is one of the most informative interviews I've ever had in my life. I probably learned more from you than I have anybody on the planet in a short amount of hours here. Well, Eric, this has been awesome, and we're going to have you on again on Spymen to spread the word. We'll get into another topic or two the next time around. So stay tuned again. Next week we'll have on Eric or one of his friends, Christopher Boland. So thank you, Eric, for coming on. And again, go into his website. It is called erichufschmid.net. Then also Huge Questions.
Yes, hugequestions.com is the easiest to remember. You can get to anything from there.
Okay, and then your book, again, repeat it. It's Painful Questions, correct?
Right, Painful Questions and the Painful Deceptions is the video.
Well, Eric, this has been an awesome trip for me to listen to you because you have it right. Nobody else does, but you do. I see it now. I never saw it all like you put it together. So thank you very kindly for coming on. I was most honored to have you on our show, Spyman. and to expose. Our show is called Exposed on Spyman, and boy, did you expose the whole dirt behind the 9/11 fiasco.
And now you know why they don't want me talking. That's why they're...
Wow, right. Wow.
So I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Now,